welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys. It's good to see you today.
Hey, did you have a good day to actually see people? Do you see anyone? I see you.
The two of you. Exactly. Right.
You're hearing people.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So, Joel, have a good Memorial Day weekend. I know, Tuck, it wasn't any probably different for you since
it was work. It was nice. We went to Darren's.
And celebrated.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Right.
Yeah, between 35 and 40 people there, so awesome. That's good.
That's right.
Celebrated what, Mr. Tuck?
Celebrated Rosh Chodesh.
What is that? Let's describe that for a minute.
It's the new moon, the celebration of the new moon, which is the beginning of... I don't know quite how to say it. It's Yahweh's designation of the beginning of the year. There's 2 years. There's the business year, and then there's the spiritual year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the description when he speaks of Passover in the spring, after the month of Aviv. And then after that, it's every month is the new moon. When you first see either the sliver, mm-hmm. of the moon where you visually see it, barring if there are no clouds in the sky.
Well, that's Oregon for you.
Then, or it's the apex of the scientific new moon when you know that there's two days and 20 hours or 2 days and 18 hours of darkness between the old moon going away and the new moon mm-hmm. coming.
Right.
So it's dead in the center of that period of time, mm-hmm. or is it 20 hours in or 5 hours in, whatever it is. So that's another designation of the new moon. It's not the visual, it's that scientific calculation. I like the visual to see the sliver. Mm-hmm. And so we're celebrating that. Mm-hmm. And that's called Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, there's, for those of you who kind of want to follow the moon, if you can't see it, especially if you live in Oregon,
right.
there are apps that you can now follow and actually see when it's up. So you got your little iPhone, hey, you can figure that out.
There's a great meme that goes around shows these different panels. It's this, great meteor shower coming, a picture of that in a picture from Oregon, all the clouds. The new moon.
We have been
clouds
having
clouds in Oregon.
Fair share of rain, haven't we?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
Well, it was a whole month.
It was the winter was normal, and then the tail end of winter was dry.
Yep.
And then the beginning of spring was dry, and then it's been wet for the last month and a half.
And cold.
Much colder.
Well, our great governor has already came out, because we've had so much rain, and declared that eastern counties are in drought.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Well, they have been draining some of those lakes up there.
Huh. Yeah. Who controls that?
Yeah, Prine.
Interesting.
Prineville is one of those. Anyways, those of you who don't know Oregon, we feel...
Sorry? Am I sorry that you don't know Oregon, or rejoiceful that you don't?
it all depends on how you... Yeah.
Speaking of neat things here. For some of you,
if you're following the Torah portions, we're entering into the book of Numbers. And here's this thing to keep in mind, because I've always loved this particular book, because it's titled Numbers, the Census of Israel's Warriors.
Not just the people. Not just the census of, because every 10 years in the country, we take a census of all of the people in the country.
Yeah.
This is of the warriors.
And it's always baffled me. I mean, that Yahweh wants to count who's willing to stand up. Now, you know, later on another show, we're going to talk, I think, about some of these numbers. But I think the main theme in here is that Yahweh wanted to find out who's going to stand up for him. And to me, that's the basic part. Everyone's going to argue about, well, what are the accurate numbers? What are the censuses? What did it actually look like? But the main theme is, you know, in fact, let's read the first three verses. Tuck, you have that Bible pulled up to Numbers?
No.
Okay. And just read the first three verses. Chapter 1:1-3.
And the Lord spoke to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month in the second year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take the census of all the congregation of the children of Israel, by their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all who are able to go forth to war in Israel. You and Aharon, your brother, shall number them by their armies.
Wow. Okay. That thing's packed.
Yeah.
Think about those first three verses. So how long has Israel been in the wilderness?
The first day of the second month in the second year after the leaving of Egypt.
Okay.
So they've been in there 13 months.
So they've had some time to kind of
experience freedom.
Thank you. Perfect words. They're going to experience freedom. And Yah's been covering them. But now he's asking them to do something.
Okay, it's your turn now.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And then he's not letting them alone. No one gets off the hook. He says, by their families, by their father's households, according to the number of names, every male, head by head. So he breaks it down even more specific.
Mm-hmm.
And that each household has to be represented. Now, have we thought about that much in modern day? Are men willing to be warriors on every, I mean, in each household?
Well, let's see. There's a difference between men and males.
Don't go there. I thought you were going to try to define what a man was. No.
No. Because and what I mean by that is, you know, we have a fair amount of males who just they can't stand up to a paper bag, you know. So they're not a man like we're trying to talk about, you know.
So why would Yahweh call these guys up?
What Aaron just brought up. That's verse 3.
Okay,
from 20 years old and upward, all who are able to go forth to war, all who are able.
That's critical,
physically and spiritually, and mentally.
There's another book in the Bible who defines what that is. It talks about if you've just put down a vineyard, you're supposed to wait. If you've just got married,
just
supposed to wait.
Kids, I mean, all this. There's a lot of exceptions.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
You know, so he wants, evidently from this, I'm getting, he wants full, undivided attention to be a warrior.
Yeah.
Is that what you're picking up?
Yep.
And he wants men that are willing to go, I'm standing.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be cool if we actually did a census of who's willing to stand nowadays for the Lord God, Yahweh, and actually make a stand and say, I want to do this?
I think it might be a little shocking.
It would be, because there's a lot of, for lack of a better term, there's a lot of wimps out there.
So what does it take to not be a wimp? Maybe, you know, because right now, we're going to be bringing someone on our conversation here shortly at 8:30, and I view him as just a magnificent man who's made a stand, right?
Yeah.
And what does it take to have someone make a stand and say, I'm standing for what's right?
Yeah.
You know,
take a lot of courage, for one.
Okay. How does that happen?
Well, it's how we were raised. Whether or not your family was a typically militaristic type scenario growing up, or your father and your mother were acquiescent. They were not willing to go forth and do things, you know, make a stand, so to speak. So if you weren't taught how to make a stand, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, but how did men make a stand for what is righteous? I mean, because we see a lot of examples to where the world might call someone a man. Like, take for instance, Cain and Abel. Most people would look at Cain and go, oh, he's a man's man. I mean,
he's
a hunter.
And then we look at Esau and Jacob and go, oh, Esau, yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's why Isaac liked him, because he was a man of the field. He could hunt. But yet, he wasn't a man of God.
No.
And neither was Cain. So what is a man of God? What is a man of righteousness? Because I'm gathering, I don't know about you guys, but what did warfare look like when Israel went into war? What was it like?
Well, that's a good question, because there's a lot of what ifs.
Yeah.
I know we have one example. If you read about Jericho,
mm-hmm.
you know, the battle for Jericho.
Yeah.
What happened there? They marched around the city for days and days and days. But they had praise and worship the entire time.
Yeah.
And that was primary. That was not secondary. That was primary, praise and worship. Singing songs, praising Yahweh.
Yeah. The walls fell down?
I mean, can you picture that today in today's world?
No, I don't think that the Navy SEALs are just walking around Baghdad just singing and praying.
Well, those are men. Goodness gracious, you want to mess with a Navy SEAL?
That's the thing, is that if we're followers of Yahweh, if we're followers of Him, the King of creation, I'm trusting in Him. I'm not trusting in my brother, the SEAL, who is very tough. And very skilled and very able, I'm following him.
Trusting him to do what?
To cover the day. He's going to take care of it. That's, I mean, if we read in Scripture, one thing I know you guys have seen, because I've talked to you about it, is that the battle is his, not mine.
Yeah.
This is the Lord's battle against Hasatan, against evil. And it's not our battle. We are working with him, and we are, because we believe in him and in his ways, we will follow him and do what he asks us to do.
So the first step, according to you, would be a man needs to say, I'm going to follow Yah.
Yeah.
And he asks us to do something, and we say, we're standing with him. We're going to be a man of righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, last week when we were on the air here, there was a favorite part of our text. It was found back in Leviticus, just to the close of it. Let me just refresh everyone's memory. It told us that if we obeyed Yah's law in Leviticus 26:7, then he tells us this, you will chase your enemies and they will fall before you by the sword. And Tuck even broke this down for us. 5 of you will chase 100, 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. Now, if you watch most of the battles that happen in the Old Testament, this seems to happen a lot, right? The Lord will either send in a wind, or he'll send in a noise, or he'll send in confusion. Okay?
Wait, Joe Biden was back then?
Yeah, right?
Amen. I knew he was old, but...
And then Israel shows up, and then they chase him down and they kill him.
Yeah.
So maybe... How do you relate this, Aaron? I mean, when you're hearing this stuff, I mean, this sounds like almost a sci-fi movie.
I was just thinking that. I mean, it really, really does. It this mysterious event happens, you know, allowing this subpar military-like group to go in and take out a city. You know, that's the picture you can kind of put together from this.
So we had a text just come in,
okay,
and they're reminding us that David had some mighty men.
Yes.
And if you read his mighty men, I mean, these guys were...
They could dance. Michael Flatley would be envious of these guys. And...
Michael Flatley?
Yes.
Yeah, High Stepper.
Yeah.
That's a what?
Don't you remember the...
Michael Irish Flatley and the...
They slap the taps on their shoes and they slap them down, and they're just so rhythmic and so...
Because of
the Lord of Dance.
Oh man, you guys got me. I'm not sure you've seen it.
No, I thought you were giving me a name of one of David's mighty men, and he knocked everyone down flatly.
What are you doing?
really threw you on that one,
man,
huh?
Man, Michael Flatley is a tap dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That tap dancing does him an injustice. He's a super
Irish dancing. Yeah, you hold world record for fastest feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw his feet down. He didn't tap them. He threw them down.
But anyway, moving on. Back to David and his mighty men.
Sorry. Squirrel!
Squirrel!
That reminds me, I'm going to look that up.
What, squirrel?
No,
Michael Flatley.
One of David's men.
Watch a video of that routine.
You know, it's so what do you do with the two differences? Is anyone supposed to go to the war? Are they supposed to start a war, finish a war, or be in the midst of war?
I mean,
yes.
They're working with Yahweh. He's the initiator of the war. And he is the finisher of the war. We are helpers.
Okay, so that means I could be a starter, I could be in the middle, and I could finish it.
Yeah, right. You could be all parts of it.
Or just a support.
Yeah.
I mean, because when you really want to break it down, you think about World War II, the war was not won solely on the battlefield with the men with the rifles. Mm-hmm. It was all the women that were back in the United States building the rifles and the planes and the supplies. And so
the economy in the United States and the world.
Yeah. And so even though you're not on the battlefield itself, you can still have a role in supporting the battle.
I like that. You could be a medic.
You could be a medic. Exactly. You could be someone that just keeps stuff going in the background as well.
I was just looking this up. They're actually, if you guys want to look up some of these guys, it's found in 1 Chronicles 11 and 12. So let's look that up and see if you can find it. I was looking at some of the mighty men of David. There's actually listed close to 37 of these guys.
Wow.
Throughout Scripture.
And the 37th guy was actually one of the mighty men that David took out.
Yeah.
Was Uriah the Hittite.
Okay.
David killed one of his own men. These were like the Marines. They were like the first guys that go in, clear the way, and then the rest of the army comes in. So if you remember when David was having a little bit of lustful problem and he wanted Bathsheba, he sent Uriah.
You call that a problem?
Yeah, so he sends Uriah up to the front, knowing that this is pretty dangerous. Right?
Yeah,
and definitely Uriah was killed, but these guys were massive dudes. Benaiah was also known for going into a pit on a snowy day and killing a lion with his bare hands.
Tough guy.
So. These guys were mighty, but not smart. I mean,
I don't know. They were called chieftains. There were like 30 of them here that were listed within Chronicles, which I thought was pretty amazing. Do you have that pulled up, you guys?
Well, you said 11 and 12. You didn't say verses.
Oh, yeah. David King and his mighty men. So let's go ahead and look up some of those. It'd be in, we have 10. Well, it's in 11.
Chapter 11.
Yeah. And see if we can find it. Oh, let's see. We have in verse 11, these constitute the list of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam, the son of Hakamonite, the chief of the 30. He lifted up his spear against 300, whom he killed at one time.
Okay, one guy.
He slew 300 men in 1 hour.
One guy, right? 300 men. 1 hour.
That's the head of the dude.
That's impressive.
I don't know that I would give that guy any grief.
No.
You think?
I'm going to shine your shoe, too.
Yeah. Right. So these are some of the dudes that he would hang out with. Now, you can find this list in Chronicles and 2 Samuel. But the point is, I mean, how do we become one of these guys? Or do we?
Maybe we're not supposed to. Maybe we're just we can still be a man and not take out 300 guys at some time, right?
Well, we have to follow Yahweh's will.
For our life, yeah.
Yeah. And if he chooses to use you in a battlefield scenario, he will choose also to strengthen you.
Mm-hmm.
What about one of the original mighty men was Abraham.
Yep.
Yeah.
Abraham put together a list of 300 guys. He took out the five kings of the Babylonian kingdom.
318 soldiers he had under him.
Gideon took only 300 people to take out huge Philistine army.
Hmm.
So what do we do?
Well, that's the key is faith in Yahweh, because their numbers are against them. If you just look at numbers, because the bad guys had thousands and thousands, and they, like you said, Gideon had 300, Abraham had 318.
Uh-huh.
Other wars, there was a finite amount of Israelis, and there was Yahweh. It's his battle. And we're on his side. We're not hiding behind his skirts, so to speak, but he is taking the battle. He's taking the lead.
Well, thank you for that, because there's a song, The Battle Belongs to the Lord, okay? But I just like the picture that you just created. We're not hiding behind his skirts. So I think the first thing that creates a man is willing to say, right is right and wrong is wrong.
Right.
And I'm going to make a stand against this. How's that going for us here in America right now? I don't know if you guys just have just watched, but I just finally watched the movie 2,000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know about if you've seen that guy. Have you listened to him much,
Dinesh? D'Souza? A few times, yeah. Yeah.
Small man.
Mm-hmm. Small in stature.
Small in stature.
Yeah.
Very methodic in his approach.
Mm-hmm.
Quietly firm.
Yes, that good words, yeah.
I've seen him on his discussions on college campuses. They might be yelling and screaming at him. He just maintains...
Very calm.
Composure.
Yeah.
List facts. He's immovable.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's this small little dude.
Yeah.
He's got truth on his side. So that's key, because if you have truth, you have righteousness. You have the Father.
I like that.
You don't have to have anything else.
If you watch that movie, and I want to encourage you to watch 2,000 Mules, you can download it for free on Rumble. So download Rumble and get to that.
And 2,000 Mules, they actually go through, and I'm not going to give you a spoiler alert, but we've always wondered why the ballots seem to be crazy. Most of us know, I mean, everyone went to bed thinking Trump had won. It was pretty obvious. He was leading in all the questionable states.
And all depending on what time you were going to bed, though, too.
Yeah, well, this was before midnight.
Right.
Okay, and Trump is ahead everywhere. In fact, he even starts congratulating members of the team. I mean, the press start to do it. After midnight, things change.
Yeah.
And so in the basis of everyone's mind, they're going, what happened when they woke up? Why did Trump lose? And everyone else felt that there's been a problem. So Dinesh surrounded himself with really smart people. Okay? I mean, these guys are smart.
As any good leader actually does.
Right. I mean, these guys were amazing. And they started learning. They said, well, let's track cell phones within the area of people going to ballot boxes after that midnight hour. And even a few days before. And they found these mules that were going from one ballot box to another ballot box. Now, they went even on the smaller end of things. They only counted the mules that went to 10 ballot boxes. And they did it by following their cell phone. Their cell phone showed them the track of where they went. Now, they used all the states, but brought it down to just a few, and they found them.
Interesting. Me through the dark.
darkest night. Through the shadow of death into the light.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. And if you're joining in with us, we've been talking about the book of Numbers and learning to be standing up and being counted as a warrior. And I'll tell you what, there's certain people in life that I really admire. Those that...
I know. It's okay, Raul. You don't have to just rub it in. I know you admire me.
I admire you, man. You know, there are people that get in the trenches and they stand up for what's right. And they call out for what's wrong. And our next guest is kind of like that. Who is that guy?
Dr. Ile. He's the founder of and executive community director for the Energetic Health Institute. He holds a doctorate in neuropathic medicine, a bachelor of science in mechanical engineering. He's board certified in holistic nutrition.
He's smart.
Smart guy.
Okay.
And a proud Jackie Robinson Scholarship alumnus.
I love it.
He has over 20 years of teaching and clinical experience in helping people care for their amazing body and unlocking the healing potential of natural medicines.
I love it. Didn't he do something last year, too? I mean, he did some sort of summit that they brought up. What was the name of that? The
COVID-Con.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love that, you know. And besides all of his credentials, he's just a really nice guy.
And I heard that he in spare time, which, you know, when you know him, he doesn't have a lot of it probably, but he likes to surf, I heard.
Oh, so he is cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if he's on with us. Dr. Ile, are you there, sir?
I'm here. How's it going, wise guys?
We're okay.
We're doing great. Yeah,
pretty good. All right. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's been a while. You know, last time we talked to you, you were promoting the COVID-Con 21 Summit. Also, mm-hmm. you were doing research and bringing things to light about death certificates and those sorts of things that were being affected by the COVID vaccinations processes. And I know you've been working diligently and really hard. And we wanted to bring you back on so you'd have a moment to tell us how your work's been going. How has it been stepping forward, and any successes out there that we need to know about?
Yeah, I think so. We did file with Senator Dennis Linthicum and Senator Kim Thatcher. We filed our 63-page grand jury petition in the Ninth Circuit Court. We filed it officially on March 7th. And as of just recently, we have officially processed served all the named defendants, Becerra, Walensky, Redfield, Azar, and Moyer, so the heads of the CDC and the Health and Human Services Department, alleging serious allegations of criminal fraud and willful misconduct. We lay that out. We presented to the court over 1,000 pages of substantive evidence to substantiate what we're doing. So we're really excited about that. We should have now about 60 days. Before they have about 60 days and they have to respond now. So this is the first time these folks are going to have to respond to a threat. Like, they've been threatening us, so we get to threaten them.
Good.
Now. So that's exciting, and we're very eager to get the word out on that. People can go to beyondthecon.com. That's beyondthecon.com, and they can download the whole thing and read everything for free. On there, what we filed. We want Americans to know that there are a lot of people fighting, and hopefully they'll join the fight with us.
You know, that's really exciting, Henry, because I was going to ask you, how do you keep the momentum going when I'm meeting people? They've been so disgusted with COVID,
yeah.
But it's almost like they want to forget it. So even though you're still in the trenches and you're still fighting this, you're going to keep the momentum by doing what you just said is Beyond the Con, right?
Is that
beyond the con? Yeah, I think the key thing that we have to get into strategically and tactically, we've been terrible in this fight so far, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's not the fault of anyone. Most people haven't studied war, you know, and how to go about it. But these folks that we're up against have. And what they've studied is the art of skirmishes, how you can create little small skirmishes and distract your enemy. And now your enemy is wasting time dealing with something that's really not a key aspect of victory in a battle. Mm-hmm. So you end up depleting your resources, depleting your morale, things like that. We've seen this consistently. First, it was wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Then it was asymptomatic transmission is real. We know it's not. Then it became the mask mandates. And then when that didn't work, you know, nobody wanted to talk about breakthrough. So then it became about the Pavlaxit or whatever the heck the stupid thing is called. Then it became about, okay, none of that's working. Let's move it over to Russia and Ukraine. Oh, that didn't work. Now let's move it over to gas prices. Oh, that's not working. Really, now let's move it, you know, to monkeypox. I mean,
yeah.
These are all distractions. And I'm counseling people on is we have to stay over target with this. And so I'm like, I'm not willing to discuss monkeypox or some other distraction until you have discussed the changes in the death certificate, until we have debated on it and we have found whether or not that is a violation of federal law, how you went about it, because you don't get to violate laws and not be held accountable in our country. I mean, that's just how it's supposed to work. So I think we have to stay over target and stop chasing all these skirmishes that they're creating. It's just a waste of energy and a waste of morale.
So when you bring people up to date again on those death certificates, just briefly, I know we've covered before, but it's been a while since we've had you on. This was some illegal action being done by doctors and hospitals. Is that correct on how they listed people and what they died from?
Well, yeah, yes and no. So,
okay.
Two interesting things happened. On March 24th, 2020, the CDC through the National Vital Statistics System changes how death certificates are reported, but only for COVID. And so what they did was they said, if you have a comorbid condition, we're going to move that to a different part of the death certificate so it doesn't really record as a part of the cause of death. But in that way, COVID-19 can always be the cause of death. So it was a tricky little thing they did. Now, what they were supposed to do is file that in the Federal Register so that it launches oversight and it launches an opportunity for public comment on it. They didn't do either of those things. So that's a violation of the Administrative Procedures Act, of the Information Quality Act, and the Paperwork Reduction Act. Right off the bat, they violated three crucial laws that all federal agencies have to follow before they make substantive changes to official documents. Then 2 days later, so this was March 24th, right, where they did that. Just 2 days later, the Health and Human Services Department erects the structure for Medicare, Medicaid insurance fraud, where now doctors are getting a greater reimbursement when they diagnose something as COVID, even if it's just speculative or what we call presumptive diagnosis, meaning a person coughed once and they can call it COVID. Mm-hmm. And now you get way more money for doing it. If you use a ventilator, you get way more money. So they erected the structure for data fraud, and then, which is criminal, and then they erected the structure for Medicaid, Medicare insurance fraud 2 days later, between the CDC and the HHS, and we caught them on this, and that's what we filed in the federal court, and what we're demanding Judge Hernandez and panel of a special grand jury to investigate.
So if you can prove this, to me that sounds like all the walls come tumbling down.
Exactly. That's I want to focus and stay over target. I'm tired of chasing the distractions. We've already proven that asymptomatic transmission doesn't exist. We've already proven that the shots don't protect anybody and they don't prevent hospitalization. They don't prevent death, all this other stuff. But we keep chasing them. They put out a new false flag, if you will, and we go and run after that flag, try to capture that false flag. Okay, well, while we're doing that, we are not addressing the root cause. And the root cause is data fraud right here in violation of federal law and then Medicare, Medicaid insurance fraud to create complicity. So we have to address that. And then we address that and the House of Cards comes tumbling down. Yes.
Wow. So even in the midst, like right now, we got Israel and other places that are and Wu is wanting us, all the other nations, to fall in line on more lockdowns, more ID cards. But you're seeing that
as a distraction again, because they're trying to run from the root to the problem, which is actual fraud.
Yeah, well, the enemy realizes they've been served now. The enemy realizes that they are up against jail time and or worse. You know, these are treasonous offenses at this time when you start talking and you start weaving together the complicity and the collusion between countries and nations. So this is a major thing now. And so what they want to do is, this is why they're accelerating their plan. It's not an accident that the World Economic Forum and then Davos and the WHO all meet within a couple of weeks of each other. These are all the same people about 2,000 people in the world trying to decide the fate of billions of people, thinking that they have the right to decide this fate. So what they're doing is they're panicking right now, in my opinion. I could be wrong, could be by design, but it looks like they're panicking because they're making mistakes. They're accelerating their plan too far, too fast, instead of taking the gains that they've already gotten and just sitting on them for a couple of years and then coming up with a new problem. You know, they're saying, well, now we got monkeypox. No, that's not the way pandemics work. You know, you can't go jump from one. We're not going to be in a perpetual state of pandemics from now on. And we still haven't gotten to the main issue. The main issue is that this is a gain of function bioweapon. And we have another major issue on our hands now that we're working to solve. My team is working to solve, working with people who've gotten the shots and who are injured. We have definitive genetic modification. So these are not gene therapy. Stop calling them therapy. They're not vaccines. Stop calling them vaccines. These are gene modification shots. And we know that because of a study done by Lund University published in at the end of February of this year, that showed that within 6 hours, the mRNA reverse transcribes into DNA and uploads into the person's nucleus.
Wow.
So we know that these are all genetic modifications, and I think people are starting to get this now. It's like, if you can't stand genetically modified foods and you eat organic, why did you ever get these shots? Now you're the genetically modified organism. That doesn't make any sense. So we have the CDC lying to us again. Pfizer, of course, lying. Surprise, Pfizer lied. Surprise, the company that paid out the largest settlement for lying. Lied again. Right. You know, and it's just like, how many times do you have to be lied to before you realize you're in an abusive relationship? And you need to get out of that relationship.
All of them.
You know, right. I mean, at a certain point, don't you got to be like, wait, they lied to me 18 times, but the 19th time, they're neither telling the truth. No, that's not how it works. They lied the 19th time, too.
So, Henry, take a moment, because I think this is important. People, they listen to a lot of different speakers and they listen to flamboyancy and a lot of that. But we were just reading this morning about the mighty men of David. It's in within scripture. And I do believe, because talking to you before, you had a mighty team and have a mighty team. Can you tell people why you're not just another fanatic out there preaching this gospel, but you're actually methodical, moving forward and taking your time finding this stuff out?
Can you just take a moment there?
Sure. I think everybody should always follow the money. For me, the integrity that I maintain is I don't want any of this blood money. So I haven't taken a penny for any of my work on this, helping people heal from the infection, helping people heal from the gene modification injury, helping people putting together the grand jury stuff. I haven't taken a penny, nor has anybody on my teams.
Wow.
We work as volunteers. What I do is I raise money through events like the COVID Con. We did another one a couple weeks ago. We work to raise money so that we have funding to help people. I'm very proud that the Energetic Health Institute has been hugely supportive of helping me help people who are hurt by the shots. We've paid thousands and thousands of dollars and that's from other people's generosity. So I think you follow the money. And the reason I say that to everybody listening is that there are a lot of people on the good guy side that don't want this to end.
Okay.
They don't want this to end because it's incredibly profitable for them. It's profitable for them to go from conference to conference and get honorarium after honorarium and, you know, and put out books and stuff like that. And it's like, look, I don't fault anybody because I have a different revenue model. So I don't fault anybody doing it. Some of my best friends have put out books and things like that. I just, I just say that, you know, you have to find out where somebody's heart is. Like, let me give you an example. Good. Peter McCullough, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peter McCullough, heart is clearly in the right place. He just put out a book. Of course, I'm going to support him putting out a book, right? Mm-hmm. And because he's been about this the entire time and from the start. He was here in 2020 fighting, so he's got a story to tell. I'm all for it. Naomi Wolf, same thing. She has a story to tell. She's been here from the very beginning. Yes, put that story out. It's the people that started showing up in 21 and started showing up this year. There's a new doctor every single 5 seconds, and I'm glad that they're visible and in the fight. But my question to all of them is, where were you in 2020? Where were you in 2020 when we were like, there was like this small band of rebels running around, you know, who were getting taken all kind of flack. And I don't say that to fault someone or be salty. I just say that when you're an audience and you're trying to determine where, who to support, who should I support? Where can I send the little bit of money maybe I have after I've, you know, after all these gas prices, you have to be discerning and know that there are people who in this fight that really care. And there are people in this fight who really care about themselves. Okay. And there is an important distinction to make. And the only way that you're going to figure that out is to trust yourself on what you're seeing in people.
Right on. Tell us a little bit about your team, though. When you start looking into these certificates, I know when we interviewed you, I think we brought you in two or three different times, and I was impressed with how you were approaching this whole thing. And you were doing it in that deep root level, which is, what are these certificates? What's going on? So what kind of team was involved with this, and what approach were you taking?
Well, we had we started with, of course, with doctors and attorneys and data analysts. And you know, we put all that together. We published a peer-reviewed paper on it in, I think it was September or October of 2020, after we went through a rigorous 2-month peer review process. That's how explosive what we had put together was. Everybody wanted to make sure it got reviewed, not only by the people that were doing the peer review, but also by 9 attorneys and a judge.
Wow.
So, I mean, we made sure that when we came out with it, we were over target, that we were right on what we were doing, because it was so jaw dropping. You know, when you get into that mentality, I think it's important that you're working with people of integrity, people who are like, look, I'm here for the fight. I'm not here for the acclaim. Like, there's a saying, you can get a lot done when nobody cares about who gets the credit, you know,
yes.
And that's how my team is. You know, we have 4 simple rules. Everybody that is on, you know, I run various teams, but 4 simple rules. Be kind.
Uh-huh.
Be accurate. Never put yourself above the mission and produce.
I love it.
Simple. And as long as people stay in that mentality, we're good. I know I've had people starting to ask me about monkeypox. And I said, no, I'm not going to even give that an ounce of my attention, because the first question you have to ask with monkeypox is that did the person get genetically modified? If the person has gotten the genetic modification shots and they have monkeypox, then my first opinion is that's a evidence of adverse event until proven otherwise. So that's where I go with it. It's like it's not something for us to need to pay attention to. What we need to pay attention to is how they have attempted to steal our constitutionally protected freedom.
Wow. Speaking of which, because you just went into that idea of have you received the shot? What are some of those things going on? You know that we're now at a different ball game, it seems like. It seems like some people have been woken up to, hey, this shot wasn't good for me. And now I'm experiencing some problems. Is that where your next step is? Or are you going to stay pretty much focused on this court case until you start winning this thing?
No, we're staying focused on both. I mean, they're both crucial to our future success as a human race. We have to have freedom, and we have to know how to get these genetic modification shots out of a person's genome. And that's what we're solving that problem right now. I'm working intimately with the React19 community. I have several I would say high profile patients, people with severe injuries, and we're learning how to first stabilize them, which we've figured out. We know how to stabilize people from decline, who are declining, who are very severely injured. We know how to do that. Now we're learning how to detoxify them, even though their cell communication has been completely decoupled, completely, you know, you know, when you go into like a area where you start losing bars, you have like a 4G yeah. phone and it goes down to 1G. That's kind of what's happening in people's cells who've gotten the gene modifications and they have severe injury. Their cells can't communicate within themselves. So now we get a lot of discoordinated function, which impedes detoxification. So we're learning how to work with them to detoxify their system as well and create the cleanest cellular environment we can create to set them up for the final stage, which is regeneration and DNA repair. It's a process called nucleotide excision, where you can actually, where the body actually knows what's not supposed to be there and can cut out those segments of the gene modification. But there's a lot of things that have to happen to set that process up at the cell level. And we're learning how to do that in very delicate situations right now. It's not easy. It's not easy on the patients. But the good news is we're learning how to do it with all natural medicine.
Love it.
And also something everybody, I think, needs to get into more is fasting. Mm-hmm. Fasting plays an instrumental role in cellular repair, both at every level of the cell, including in the nucleus where the DNA resides.
Wow. Now, you, at the start of this, you said React 19. You said that's a community, or is this a website again, or is this, what is React 19?
React 19. So what's happened, unfortunately, is that the people who trusted the government and trusted the Pfizer liars, you know, they got hurt. And then they go back to the government and say, hey, I'm hurt. You know, I need help. And the government says, go kick rocks. We still haven't paid out one penny to anyone who's been hurt by these shots. Right. There still is not, to my knowledge, been one penny paid out. So these folks found each other through Facebook until they got kicked off of Facebook, of course, because clearly they're making up all their injuries and they can't walk or swallow or do anything because it's all in their head, right?
Wow.
So they formed a community, and Steve Kirsch is doing a really awesome job of helping to support that community. And they've called themselves the React 19 community. And this is, you know, headed up by Bree Dressen and Dr. Walskog, and you know, a few other folks in there. And they're in good tandem with the American Frontline Nurses, who are doing a great job working with them as well. And, you know, I came when we did the rally in Portland after we filed the petition in federal court, I brought out a couple of the members of the the React 19 group. And, you know, they told me some stories that were really disturbing. They told me some stories of what they've been through, but they also told me stories of how many doctors on our side weren't helping them. How they were being kind of used for, you know, for political capital and visual and pictures and photo ops and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, that won't do. You know, why don't you come out and start working with me and let's see if we can solve this problem. I don't make any promises, but I'll give you everything I got.
Good.
And so we fortunately had some money available from the previous COVIDCon conferences. We've been using that to help support them and get them through some treatments and get them stable. We know what it takes to get people stable now and stalemate decline. And now we can start moving into the next stage, which is detoxification. But I would tell anybody out there right now, and I have a tremendous amount of admiration and respect for Paul Merrick and Pierre Corey, tremendous mm-hmm. respect for those two. And I talk to them frequently. But I would say I don't agree with what Dr. Paul Merrick is saying. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Paul has been saying that that we know how to heal this. Mm-hmm. And I say
it's not a healing.
If somebody has figured out DNA excision, which I'm studying right now, if somebody has figured out that and how to do that and everything beyond what we've kind of put together right now and working on, I'm all ears. I would love for somebody to be like, hey, we've already solved this. But I think the correct way to say it, and this is where I think Dr. Paul Merrick is correct. The correct way to say it is, yes, the body is designed to heal.
Yeah.
And we are learning how to engage the innate healing mechanisms of the body. That's what we're learning how to do. But I think it's a little presumptuous to say we're there right now. We're not there yet, in my opinion.
We are up to our break coming up here in just a moment. Do you have some more time on the other side of the...
Good morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys. And I don't know about you two, but I'm finding this fascinating once again. And I'm always inspired to know that there are people out there willing to make a stand. And I think what I admire about Dr. Elay is that he's this workhorse that's just constantly, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, and he's full of life. He's energetic as all get out.
I know. I love it. Yeah. You know, and it should inspire those of you that are listening to get on board and to start making a stand with what you know is right and what's accurate. And I just appreciate it. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on. And
thanks for having me again. Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, I have a question for you, and this can be followed up by Tuck here, and that is, I'm running across a number of parents, and mm-hmm. where they took the shot,
mm-hmm.
and then they're wondering why their children, like under five, are getting sick so often, and they're questioning whether or not that they should have their kids now have the shot, and I'm mm-hmm. still amazed at how many people I'm meeting that are still in this quandary. What would you advise them? Is there a conference they can go to, people they should be listening to? What's some of your comments? What do you have to say on that?
Well, I think the first question you have to ask if you're being objective is can this modify my DNA? And I think when you go to the CDC, they say definitively it cannot. When you go to Pfizer, they have lied and said that it cannot. But I think we're going to find out through subsequent monthly releases that they knew that it could. And so you have to go to independent study because, of course, these two organizations are going to be biased. They have an objective. They want to sell shots, right? Mm-hmm. A needle in every arm. So what you have to do is you have to go and look at independent research. And independent research, peer-reviewed, from Lund University, the first study of its kind, the first study that should have been done before EUA was ever granted, right, for any of this stuff, shows conclusively that these do reverse transcribe and upload into a person's nucleus, into a person's DNA. So I think that's the first thing is if you believe that you are doing everything you can, spending extra money on organic foods to avoid genetically modified organisms in your foods, why would you want to become a genetically modified organism? It doesn't make any sense. So I think that's the first thing for people to consider.
Yeah.
I think the second thing for people to consider with their children is what's the recovery rate? The recovery rate has been strong in every country around the world for children under 18 years of age at 99.99999 whatever, 8%. All right, you cannot do better than that in medicine for any infectious disease process. That's better than the recovery rates for flu. Right. So you just can't do better than that. So what you have to get into is an understanding of necessity. What's the medical necessity of this? I think then the third thing you do is you test before you even consider going into something like that. You test for antibodies. Uh-huh. You test for antibodies. You test for T cell rearrangement. You to make sure it's like, well, if you've already recovered, all the data is so clear that if you've already recovered from an infection, you're good for any of the variants. Uh-huh. So you don't have to worry about that. And then the last thing I think we need to do, and this is where I think it all stems from, guys, is we have such a tremendously poor understanding of our body. Most people don't know where their liver is, let alone what their liver does. Most people don't know what their immune cells do. And most people don't know this most fundamental thing about it. And I just read a report from the C19 group, Steve Kirsch's group, who did a analysis of the severely injured. And what it showed was that the most common symptom among the severely injured was fatigue. I think it was 82% of all respondents had fatigue. Well, the root cause of all disease is fatigue. This is what I write about in my book, Energetic Health, Volume 1. And this is the foundation of the school, Energetic Health, the Energetic Health Institute. It's based upon this premise that the foundation root cause of all disease is fatigue. So what that tells us, if the root cause of disease is fatigue, that tells us that it gives us the Rosetta Stone. It tells us how we can decode this. And instead of looking at individual diseases and what we need to do to treat each individual disease, see, that's what the pharmaceutical industry wants you to think of, because that allows them to create new products. What if there was a solution to all disease? And what if that solution was really simple? Give your body all the nutrients at the cell level. Give the body all the nutrients it needs to produce energy.
Wow.
Well, that's been the secret to my success over the last 20 years of working with patients and teaching students, and their ability to replicate the results that I'm able to get is because we start with the foundational thing. If your cells aren't producing energy, you got nothing. You got disease. That's how disease gets created. So what we do is we make it simple. Let's get the cells producing energy. Let's put the cells in the optimal pH environment, and let's let them do what they do best. Cells are designed to heal. So they just need the energy to do so. And what's that energy? B-complex vitamins, magnesium, iron, you know, some micro minerals. But there are other things that you can't get in the capsule. You can't get in the food. And that is hope and courage
and
love.
We're going to get into that question here for you, because Tuck had the question. But, dude, you made me see the light even clearer. It's awesome, because at the beginning of our interview with you, you said there's lots of distractions, lots of squirrels out there, okay? And that's the attack. And the same thing is here when it comes to health, right? Because you're saying, look, we can get distracted with every one of these diseases that keep popping up, but there's a core issue that's at the root of the problem. So you want to get to the root, correct?
The root cause. This is what we're taught. You treat the root, you heal the tree, right? Yeah. If there's a problem, you don't treat the leaves, you treat the root, and you trust that the tree has everything it needs in terms of intelligence to be able to use what you're giving it to heal it. See, what comes out of us, our skin, our nails, or the color, the whites of our eyes, all these visible things are indicators of what's going on internally within our health, right? So you have to start asking, well, what's the foundation? Why is all this going off the rails? Well, there's pollution and there's 5G. And yeah, these are all factors. But what's the real root? The real root is severe nutrient deficiency. And how did we know this? We know this because we've gotten the NHANES studies from the CDC that are used to determine what the state of nutritional health across the nation in the United States. And what did we see? Up to 95% of all Americans are deficient in the bare minimums of vitamin D. At least 47% are deficient in vitamin C. And then you start getting into, you know, well, if they're deficient in these nutrients, well, what's the likelihood that Americans are deficient in something as important as B-complex for the mitochondrial energy production? Right. It's skyrockets. I teach my students that you know one thing when a person comes in to see you. Mm-hmm. You know that they're nutrient deficient. Uh-huh. That's what you know. And what your job is to help shore up those nutrient deficiencies and help them get into a better lifestyle, including eating plant-based organic foods. This is what God designed for us, including using nutrients that we have available in higher concentrations. We teach about a concept called therapeutic range. How much of a nutrient do you need? Because we've seen people in the public, they do something great. They choose the right nutrient, and then they don't take enough of it. Well, that ain't going to work, right? So it's about simplifying, right? This world is so complex because we're allowing it to be complex, because we're chasing, you know, we're chasing, you know, problems that don't really exist. Get to the root problem. The root problem is fatigue, which means that the root solution is energy production. And start from there and work outward from that point.
I love it. Energetic health. Hey, Tuck has a question for you.
All right, Dr. Okay. Bailey. The question I have is that for anyone, male or female, who has made the mistake of getting the shot and then has second thoughts, third thoughts, whatever, and down the road, and it's 6 months since I had the shot, a year and a half, 2 years, when or is there always hope for them? If they start doing the right things as far as eating well, eating healthy, is there a point in time to where they cross that line to where there's no hope? Can you answer that?
Yes. There is never a point in time where a person should be without hope. You know, while, you know, I think the point in time where you'd say there's no hope is when they've taken their last breath, which would be very sad, right?
Right.
Like, that's the point where there's no hope. But before that, there's always hope. You know, the sooner that you get on something, the better. I think we've all had weeds show up in our yard and we don't do anything about them. We don't pull them right away. And then when you could have pulled them when they were like 2 inches and been done with it, but then it grows into like this 8-foot monster, and now I got to hack away and get the gloves on and all this other stuff because I'm not spraying Roundup in my yard, right? So you know, I think it's how big of a problem do you want to have to tackle? The sooner the better is always the approach. But I think the big thing here is that we're learning. I think what these evil people did was unknowingly unlocked the universal theory of healing. That what we're learning is that this has to be done at a cell level. You have to understand the cell environment. You have to understand the cell wall. You have to understand the organelles within the cell and the nucleus. Because when you do understand all those things, you understand it's not just about foods that you eat. You understand that foods that you eat play a tremendous role. Nutrients that you take in your body play a tremendous role. But there's a lot more going on in there by God's design. Uh-huh. God lives in every single cell of our bodies, every single cell. And you can see God at work within the cell when you start studying things like transcription and protein synthesis and energy production and all these wonderful things that happen, this amazing, you know, this amazing divinity that exists within. And when you understand that your cells are divine, it gives you, I think, a greater appreciation for them. And I think it gives you a greater sense of the necessity of care for what God has given you as a gift, this amazing body that you have. And I think when you embrace that, that gratitude that comes with it, what happens is a desire to learn more of how to care for it on a better level. And I think what you find in that process is the relationship with God. Everyone has always been coveting. And when you get into that relationship with God, what it inspires you to do is want to share that relationship with other people, not in a pushy way, but in a way of, hey, I know you're scared right now and you don't need to be, because God wears a t-shirt and on the front of it, it says, I've got this. You know,
I've got the battle.
I've got this, right? So, you know, it puts us in a position where when we can appreciate that the cell is designed to heal, that the body is designed to find and live in homeostasis and balance, that all that's required is really the right nutrients. But some of those nutrients are things that people don't consider nutrients. Things like faith, things like love, things like courage, things like belief. You know, these are nutrients for your cells as well, because it creates a vibrational energy that dictates what type of genetic expression is going to occur at the nucleic level. And this is where thoughts become physical manifestation in your body. That's why we say people can die of a broken heart. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Die of a broken heart, but you can also heal a broken heart too, right? And that's where
this.
I see where we're at right now. We have a world that has been broken. You know, our hearts and our faith and our belief in each other has been broken. How do we restore that? We restore that by loving each other. Love is undefeated. So we restore that by caring about each other profoundly and saying, I don't need your permission to care about somebody or do the right thing here. I need you to be on board with it being done. And if you can't be on board with it being done, then get out of the way.
Amen.
You know what? Speaking of which, most people, they've been inundated with the negativity when they turn on the boob tube or they look at YouTube or look at any one of those tubes. It's just constantly negativity. Tell me where the battle is, because you're right in the midst of it. You're rubbing shoulders with people that are out there working on a positive solutions and positive ways to turn this around. Has the backbone gotten stronger? Have some people been woken up? So they will actually start fighting this. I know many people started fighting this back in 2019 to 2020. What's the longevity? What do you feel? Where is that going? What does that look like with the people that are now recognizing that there's a problem with government? There's a problem with these corporations that are putting out this stuff. And there's a problem with media. There's a problem with hearing the right things. Where is that? And where do you see it going?
I think most people have tuned it out. Now, okay. Most people are, you can see it in the apathy. I still see a lot of people doing this COVID circuit kind of deal. And I do want to be supportive of everybody who's still discussing it. But we're seeing that there's much less people who are interested in discussing it. Why? Because the people were most interested in discussing COVID when it had a direct impact on them, meaning that were they going to have to get mandated to get the shot or not, right? Uh-huh. That's when they cared the most. Okay. Now that that's been summarily defeated, and or at least appears to be defeated in the Supreme Court, what happens now is most people are like, I want to get on with my life, and rightfully so, you know. And then so the problems that most people are facing, which are more close to home, are how am I going to keep affording $5, $6, $7 gas prices and the subsequent increase in all prices for everything that comes with it? How am I going to feed my family? Right. This is now where people's thoughts are. They're not on, you know, this issue. So those of us that are blessed to be able to have some, you know, some prosperity can stay on this. But I think the what I'm seeing is that we're going to win. How do I know? Because when you study history, good always wins. Love always wins. So we're going to win. It's the question to people is, how fast do you want to win? Do you want to win right away? Because if you want to win right away, let's stop talking about monkeypox and stupid things like that. And let's start talking about how this came into being. Right. Let's talk about the violations of federal law. Let's support each other. There's that I know of. There are three people right now, three teams of people aggressively pursuing criminal allegations. Okay. Tom Renz and his team, Dr. David Martin and his team, and my team with Senator Dennis Lentecum and Senator Kim Thatcher. We need that number to go up. You can't just, there's a tendency for people to go, oh, well, yeah, I heard about that. Somebody else is doing it. They'll get it, right? No, this is too big. This is too big.
So what do you need? I mean, because what I'm afraid of is those very same things that you just mentioned, okay, which is people are worried about the bigger things in life or what they think are the bigger things in life, and they don't always think about their health. They don't think about keeping these guys at bay. But here you are still working, and there's becoming a loss of interest. So how do people still help?
Well, you know, you have to appreciate that. That's going to happen, and you just have to plan for it. Like for us, we just said we're moving forward no matter what. I don't care if it's only, you know, 8, 10, 12 of us that are pushing this forward. This is such an important topic that it has to be pushed forward, you know, and I can't rely on somebody else doing it until somebody supersedes. I was talking with Dr. David Martin about this a couple weeks ago, and I was like, listen, you know, whoever breaks through first, we got to be ready to go. We got to be ready to penetrate that breach. So for me, it's really simple. If we break through first, you know, let's all get in there. But the thing that's unique about what we're doing is that if we break through, we've actually established a template where everybody can reproduce this for anything around the country. We figured out how to access our grand jury system, again, without having to go through, you know, the get the permission of a prosecuting attorney. Oh, please, Mr. U.S. Attorney. Oh, please, Mr. State Attorney General. Will you ever so please investigate all of these crimes, even though I know you're getting funded by the same people that committed the crimes and who's funding them? Will you please, 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 pretty please, please, for me, investigate these bad, bad people roaming around. Come on, stop. Right? I have a right to petition my government for redress of grievance. I have a grievance here.
Yes.
A federal agency violated federal laws to create a hysteria and that led to the misappropriation of $3.5 trillion of American taxpayer money, at least. I have a grievance. So now I need a grand jury, made up of people like me who are going to look at what we've put together and investigate this. And if they feel that we have substantive evidence, hand down indictments for the people guilty of this. You don't get to misappropriate $3.5 trillion. You don't get to erect a structure of Medicare, Medicaid insurance fraud. You don't get to lie using data to create fear and hysteria throughout a nation, let alone a global community. You don't get to do that.
Wow.
You know, I've spoken with I didn't speak with Reiner. I've spoken with an emissary that he sent over. You know, my big thing with people has been, please stop. Please get off of the pretend stuff. Mm-hmm. Please get off of pretend and mock grand juries and all this stuff, and let's file actual things and put pressure on the system to uphold the laws that we hold sacred. And, you know, or else all we're going to do is just keep talking about this until we're all talked out and nobody wants to listen anymore.
So practical steps for people listening today. Do they write in and support what you do? Do they write in and to their senator and say, look, stop doing this? I mean, how does a person become involved? Most people are afraid because they're thinking, well, government still has all the power. We haven't been able to stop them before. What makes you think we're going to stop them now? How can they stand up, be a warrior, and say enough is enough?
First, by saying, I'm going to take control of my health. I'm not going to outsource it to anybody in a white coat ever again. That's number one, which means that you're taking the onus on yourself to learn how to care for your amazing body at the cell level. That's number one. You do that, you've already become a part of the solution. You've already taken yourself out of a system that doesn't care about you, and you've given pharma the finger. All right. So that's how you do it, number one. Uh-huh. Number two, go and read the petition. Educate yourself on what is being alleged, and then from there the ideas will come. Well, who do I need to share this with? Do I need to bring this to my representatives? Do I need to bring this to my senators? Do I need to make the people in my local communities aware of this? I think the answer to all that is yes. Yeah. And then when you start talking about how do I support that, it's like, well, right now the greatest support we can get is awareness, because awareness creates pressure. It makes it much more difficult for a judge to dismiss something on a technicality when there's a lot of visibility on it. And that's what we've been doing. I've been actually kind of surprised that we haven't been picked up by Epic Times and Blaze and places like that. But, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, it's all by God's divine plan. So everything that's happening is a part of the perfection, and we're just going to be servants, you know, in the best way that we can. And I just ask God every day, just tell me what you want me to do. I'll do it. I'll do the work. You know, I like working, so I'll do that. But just guide me. And if I'm off the path, show me the light, illuminate the path for me, you know. And that's the hard thing right now, I think, you know, for a lot of us, because we're so fatigued, and we are, many of us, traumatized by what's going on. But we can't allow that to put us into a state of victimhood. You know, like, I refuse to ever be a victim in my life. No, if people fought and died for my right to be free, people got on boats to Iwo Jima and boats to the beaches of Normandy, knowing they were probably going to die.
Yep.
And they did it anyway.
Anyway.
Right. And so who am I to do less than them?
So to find the petition, they go to Energetic Health Institute, or do they go
to Freedom for Health? If they go to energetichealthinstitute.org, they'll see on the homepage, they'll see a little thing for COVIDCon. It'll take them over to the COVIDCon site. It's called beyondthecon.com. We have two sites, right? But then, and then on there, that's really clear in the header where you can get to the grand jury stuff and everything. We have a lot of stuff we're giving away for free, and we just want people to have everything they can have. So thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Doctor.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
To listen to.
That was.
A lot of information.
Yeah. A really good, great information.
Information.
You have a tendency to leave out like the adjectives.
I know, right? All right, you guys, here it comes. You know, what are you picking up? What are you taking home? There's a lot of good stuff here. And what amazes me is that there are people out there still fighting this good fight. The warriors that are listed even in the book of Numbers are still present today, I think.
And I don't think they're fighting the fight any longer, but I think their time has passed. But, you know, your point is made.
Yeah, the concept, okay? The concept of those being numbered and willing to stand up for truth, it's just amazing. What did you guys pick up? Who wants to go first? I mean, what's the thing that hit you the most when listening to the doctor?
Well, the doctor's a smart guy.
Yeah. You think?
That's the one thing. I mean, he's energetic and full of truth. He's full of hope. And his desire is to do what's right. And you can define that a whole lot of different ways. But his demeanor, his application of truth, how he presents himself, it's just... You know, he's on fire.
If you guys weren't listening, we were talking to Dr. Henry Ealy. And that last name is spelled E-A-L-Y?
Yeah.
Okay, and you can look him up at energetichealthinstitute.org. That's energetichealthinstitute.org. And you'll find out all kinds of wonderful things, the conferences that they've had, information up there, articles that are for free. You're going to be finding out the petition that's been making it to the grand juries and all their legal actions that are bringing some of these highly criminal people are being
right in the midst of the battlefield too, up in Portland, Oregon.
Oh my word! Yeah, right.
I was look on the beyondthecon.com site. Which is the latest thing he just did. As a matter of fact, it was just a couple weeks ago. And the list of sponsors is really kind of neat. Church of Glad Tidings, that's where they've had it. They're down in California.
Right.
Energetic Health Institute, which is his. Stand for Health Freedom, that's a big one. We've talked about them
before.
We've
interviewed them a lot.
Green Med Info, haven't heard of them, but their subheading is the science of natural healing.
Mm-hmm.
Thrive On, vaccine secrets, COVID crisis, organic consumers organization, America Out Loud, Freedom Angels, PERC, which is protection of the education educational rights of kids. Really tiny print. It's hard to read.
I hope. Yeah. Yeah, let's let education be education.
Yeah.
Right?
Informed choice, WA, I'm assuming that's Washington.org. Make Americans free again. Quest Green Technology Products. Medical Freedom Initiative, which has a really interesting logo. It's the shape of California. Interesting. And Good Samaritan Oil. I mean, these are all people that are behind all of this. It's like a really interesting collection of people that are fighting along with him.
They're helping to fund, you know, but I'll tell you what, when you watch COVIDCon 21, which was down in Sacramento, the doctors he's rubbing shoulders with, these are the guys at the forefront of the fight. Like you said, you know, he's been with people that are getting to the core of the problem. I don't know about you, but that really hit me good. Many times, Aaron always teases us about the squirrels and distractions, and that has been a methodology of the left. We see it, we witness it. They always create a crisis, right?
Right.
I mean, we seem to move forward, and then there's another crisis, and then it's debunked, and then got another crisis. That's debunked.
Wait, breaking news, hippopox.
Oh, hippopox.
Hippopox just broke out. I'm going to go get your shot.
I'm waiting for the foxpox.
Oh, it's just crazy how this goes on.
Yeah.
And it's true. Those of us that have been in health for a while understand the root of the problem. We understand that many times people are going, well, I need this fixed, or I need this fixed, or I need that fixed. And we're going, no, we need to get to the root.
Yeah.
How's that liver going for you? How's that stomach going for you? How's your heart? You know? So rather than talking about, I got loss of breath, or I got this, no, let's get down to what are those organs doing? And are they healthy? Are they getting fed?
Right.
And he's doing the same thing with this COVID thing. He's going after the misinterpretations of the death to prove the fraud. That to me is like, that would drop the whole house of cards if they're successful in that.
Yeah.
If they can show that fraud in court, win it, then all this stuff comes tumbling down. Wow. Aaron, what are you taking?
The kind of what I've been thinking for a long time of, you know, find your path, stay your course, and keep going, because you're not the only one.
Yeah.
You know, there's other people out there. And that's been, you know, the problem with so much media is you're just hearing this one side, and the side that probably a vast majority of us are on isn't getting heard because we think that, well, I'm in the minority here because I don't hear anybody else talking about it. Like, no, get up there and talk about it. Stand up, do something, find your place in, you know, whatever it happens to be, whether it's, you know, COVID or health or, you know, either medical freedom or child trafficking, whatever it happens to be, whatever your thing is, poverty, do.
But, you know, the thing that's striking me with that, with your comments, is that many of us have been in the habit, because of the YouTubes, because of the social media, we're so used to looking at headlines. So we get into an argument or we bring information to someone, and all we can do is give them another headline, and people, that's all they've heard is headlines, so they disconnect you. What the doctor was telling us and reminding us again, read the full information so you actually can talk with wisdom.
Dig into it.
Okay. Not just a superficial knowledge of a course, but you got to get into the course. You have to understand what he's talking about. So that's why he said, read the petition, read the information that's on their site. Don't look at the headlines.
Yeah.
Dig. And then start sharing in small ways so you can practice. Most people go, well, I want to stand up. I'm going to be the teacher. Well, really, how many years have you done that?
Right.
Okay. and start small. Mm-hmm. If you're able to convince a friend, good for you.
maybe you do have something about teaching. If you're
right. So maybe start there. Okay, so what are the different groups? He had talked about C19.
Yeah.
And React 19.
Right.
These are groups that you can find that are people that actually went through problems and reactions. So it's React 19. And you'll read these stories about people who actually had a problem from the shop. Also, you're looking at, he has a book called Energetic Health, okay, by Dr. Henry Ely. It's called Energetic Health. You can find that on the energetichealthinstitute.org. And you just mentioned it again, Aaron, Beyond the Con.
Yeah.
Which is the recent one that they did. They did COVID Con 21, and now we have Beyond the Con. Start learning about fasting, which is what he talks about a lot, how to detox and how to clean out the body so the body can start doing stuff. We also have the American Frontline Nurses, and we've had American Frontline Doctors
mm-hmm.
that has information that is there for you. Am I forgetting anything, Aaron?
The other one we just Stand for Health Freedom.
Yes.
He worked with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if he mentioned him this time around, but he's worked with him before.
Yeah. So when he finished, what was the comment that I made to you guys? I was going, I can't believe how this lines up with how we started.
Oh, yeah.
The conversation. Standing up to be a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And what it takes to be a warrior. And even Dr. Ely had talked about that. Hope.
Yes.
Love. Strength. Courage.
You've got to have the reason to be in the fight.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I'm going to go pick a fight. About what? I don't care. I'm just going to go pick a fight. It's like, well, you're not going to be in the fight for very long. As soon as somebody starts punching back on you, you don't feel good about it. Okay, I'm done with this. No, you got to find, you got to have that reason, that driving force for being there in that place. And Dr. Ely, it's like, no, we need to be healthy. And these people are messing with that. And we need to punch back on, you know, their efforts.
So what is that force? He had mentioned that God is even in every cell within our body. And there are those of us that really subscribe to that because those cells are intricate. They're filled with memories,
mm-hmm.
Action. And they can be joyous or they can be sad. If you looked at them under the scope, you can tell an unhealthy body because they almost look depressed. You know?
Mm-hmm. Dormant.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. And yet, Yah says, I am light, okay? And I can give you life. You follow my commands and you have life. We were talking about this last Sabbath, is that how important it is to be convicted to follow his commands.
Yeah.
Let's look at this. I was going to look at even the end of Malachi, okay? And also, we're going to look at the end of Ecclesiastes. Both of her amazing books. Ecclesiastes is written by a wise man, Solomon. And I'll be in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 11 through 14. I'm anxious to see what Tuck's Bible will say on this, too. And so we are in verse 11, chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. I think we met a wise man today.
Oh, yeah.
He was giving us some nails, right?
Yes.
But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless.
and excessive devotion to just books is wearing on the body. So let's give a different interpretation of this. Henry Ely was saying, he says, yeah, a lot of people jumped on afterwards. They weren't in the original fight, and now they're all giving their own opinions, and people are all having these distractions. Who do I follow? Who do I listen to? Notice that's what Solomon writes about.
Yeah.
Right here. Be warned. There's a lot of books. They're endless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But then he gives a conclusion in verse 13. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God, keep his commandments.
Huh.
Gotta love this. Because
kind of simple.
But he goes on further, but because this applies to every person.
Not just a couple of people.
No.
Not just the elite.
No.
Not just the president.
No.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Huh. Interesting.
So I love it. There's many books. They're endless. And we all have these devotions to them, right? I mean, people go, I know this one. I know this one. And he boils this down. This is the conclusion. Fear God. Keep his commandments, because this applies to every person, because Yahweh God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or whether it is evil. I would think that's a good reason.
Yeah.
Let's look at the end of Malachi.
Chapter 14.
Chapter
4, actually. There's not 14 chapters.
I should have put on my glasses. Oh, I have
them on. They are on.
Yeah, need a stronger prescription.
You need to dust them off there a little bit.
There's only 6 verses in chapter 4 of Malachi. Pretty short chapter. One of the shortest.
Malachi 14, 14, is that what you're saying?
No, this is Malachi 4, 1 to 6. Okay, so pay attention there, and I'm going to ask for your words of wisdom here. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be like chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall.
Have you guys ever seen little baby cow calves?
Yeah.
They so funny watching them jump around. And you will tread down the wicked, and for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. So, in verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and the ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord.
What was the prophet?
We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So think about that.
What was Elijah's job?
And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse.
Okay. Similar to even Solomon.
Yeah.
But now he's putting it even more drastically. So what was Elijah's job? Now notice, I'm talking too awfully much.
Right at the beginning, one of the things it was saying is that they're gonna be like the chaff. And what is chaff?
It floats. It flies around, doesn't it?
It's the burnt ash that's remaining.
Yeah.
Right? And so the way you get the burnt ash off is an even hotter fire to re-burn that off.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And sometimes it takes a little scraping as well to clean it all off.
I like that.
He's going to burn it off with such an intense heat.
Yeah, and what happened to us, one of the things I was picking up from the doctor here is that, I don't know if you felt the encompassing feeling of how people have felt completely let down from this government.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in disarray and confused, embittered, angry. All those things from what that evil did to this country and to the world.
Yeah.
And he's telling you,
that these people are going to burn here in Malachi.
And then they're going to be the ash under your feet.
Yeah. Notice we started today, too, even in the book of Leviticus, he said, you know, you're going to run out, you're going to chase your enemies, because the battle is the Lord's. We started off with that. So here's some hope for you, Tuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Beth. What are you pulling out of this text?
Which one?
Yeah, I know, right?
Ecclesiastes or Malachi.
Both of which seem to draw us back to follow his commandments and fear Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2 points.
Yeah, they're making it clear who's the battle. He wants us willing to fight and willing to share the burden, but it is his burden. It's not ours. We don't have the capabilities nor the strength to fight that big, to last that long. He does. And he wants us willing to be with him, to go wherever he goes, and he will reward that. And he will give you longevity. He will give you power and strength, but that's after the fact.
Notice in this too, especially the book of Malachi, you know, it says Elijah will come again before the day of the Lord. Okay? And I thought right away, well, what was Elijah's message?
Yeah.
Now, notice it says in the verse 6, he'll restore the hearts of the fathers to their children. So Elijah's message at the time was, when he was here being a prophet, the first time around, was you guys are worshiping the wrong God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how basic it gets.
Right.
You're worshiping the wrong God, and you're killing your babies by bringing them before Moloch and before Baal. And you've lost the hearts of your children.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Does that sound like modern day to you?
No. See, that's completely different, because the year is different and it's different people.
Oh, my word. We're worshiping the wrong gods. You know, and we're not worshiping the main God. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but what I saw COVID do was start getting people to get their minds in the right direction.
Yeah.
Who am I worshiping? And now the same thing's going to happen again with all these prices. People are going to have to trust.
Well,
going to have to walk in faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not made of money. I don't have $1 million. And the price of gas, yeah, it's going up. But when the price of gas was $2.50 a gallon, and now it's close to $5 a gallon. That's 100% increase. That's steep.
Yeah.
But it's only $5 a gallon. And so you have a 10-gallon tank. That's $50 a fill-up. And unless you're driving 500 miles a week, which most of us aren't, get over yourself. Budget. Be more cautious with your money.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. If you get carried away, oh, no, it's gone up so much, 100%, you'll be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But it's not that big of a deal. If, the price of gas is going up, the price of food is going up, all these different things. And those of us that are aware and reading Scripture, he warns us of these things, told us to look forward to them. But it doesn't say, he says, don't be stressed. These things have to happen.
Yeah.
And so if he's going to say that to me, I think he'll also have a statement to make to me when I ask him, what do I do?
Okay, so that takes us back to the original point when we started this today. God is asking you to stand up in the book of Numbers, at least with Israel. He said, I want everyone to count and stand up to be a
warrior.
And the wilderness wasn't so pretty all the time. You had to have stress and learning to be strong.
Yeah.
So why weren't these same things going on teaching us to be a warrior and stand up?
It's going to be pretty identical. Different place, different time. But the same thing is going to be learned. The same thing is going to be won. If you want to be scared, go ahead and waste your energy and be scared.
Yeah, go run like a baby.
Yeah.
You
What is it, Hans in France? You'd be a little baby, we'll just pop your head like a pimple, you know? little girly, you're a girly man, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, your scrawny little arm, you know, it's not even as big as my thigh, you know.
It's like a little a spaghetti. A
spaghetti arm.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We just need to start with what Scripture tells us, and that's believe in Yahweh and trust in Him. And He's going to take it from there.
Amen.
The darkness must flee from the living word. His light now shines. The darkness must flee. Yeshua is the